Hey, this is Tyler Childers, and you're listening to Walking the Floor.
I'm walking the floor over you.
Walking the floor.
I'm walking the floor.
Walking the floor over you.
Hola, senores and senoritas. Happy Labor Day. This is Chris Shiflett, and you are listening to Walking the Floor. Make sure you get out wherever you are, whatever you're doing today, and hug one of the proud, hardworking American brothers or sisters out there who belongs to a labor union. At Walking the Floor, we are union strong. Just want to make that clear. Oh boy, I got jet lag, ladies and gentlemen. Got back from Asia this weekend, and I've just been kind of trying to get back into the scheme of things, but it's hard. That's a hard thing when you fly from west to east. Is that what it is? I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm still kind of upside down. And I woke up way too early this morning to check the surf, but the ocean wasn't cooperating. So now I'm just like really over caffeinated and kind of zombying through my day. But whatever. I'm still gonna get to the beach today. God damn it. So I gotta get as much beach time this week as I can because I gotta leave again next week. On a sad note, just wanted to say that my heart really goes out to everybody down in Texas and the Gulf Coast area that's been affected by Hurricane Harvey. It's been awful to watch, you know, on the news every night, and I suspect that the death toll is gonna rise in the coming days. And you know, anyway, just hoping that things get back to some version of normal down there soon for everybody affected by that terrible, terrible situation. Okay, big news for the podcast. I'm heading up north in a couple of days on Friday to go interview superstar Chris Stapleton. That is a huge coup for this here podcast, man. He's like the king right now. And I'm a huge fan, and I'm very excited. So I'm going to try not to screw that up and get up there and have some good questions for him. And I'm actually, while I'm there, I'm going to also interview Anderson East. So it's going to be a little walking the floor twofer. Get a little Chris Stapleton, get a little Anderson East, and then I'm going to try to turn that one around real fast. I might even post that one next week. We'll see. If I can get it together, I'm going to post it next week. Either way, I'm going to post it real soon. So look for that. All right, let's talk about Zounds.com. Zounds.com, for all you struggling musicians out there, they make gear affordable. Get on over there and check it out. You can split your order total over 4, 6, 8, or 12 monthly payments, and they never charge interest. So get on it, Zounds.com. They got what you need. They got guitars, they got recording equipment, strings, picks, amps, pickups, whatever. Zounds.com, do it. All right, let's get to the interview. Tyler Childers is a young up-and-comer out of Eastern Kentucky who recently released his great second record, Purgatory, produced by none other than Sturgill Simpson, which has been in heavy rotation on my Spotify lately. He was pretty tired when I interviewed him the other day, having played the night before down at the Casbah in San Diego, a venue I know well. He confessed to me afterwards that his tour manager basically had to like kick him out of a deep slumber in order to get him over to the studio in time to do this interview. But, you know, such is the life of the young, hardworking, touring musician. This is Tyler Childers on Walking the Floor.
Looking over West Virginia, smoking spirits on the roof. She
asked,
anyway,
I want to start with that. Like, tell me about where you grew up and those people and landmarks that inform your songs.
I grew up in Lawrence County, Kentucky. It's within the tri-state area, about as east as you can be without being in West Virginia. And grew up in a pretty, religious family.
Right.
Religion was important in my raising, and I was Free Will Baptist, and so I always kid and say that Free Will Baptist is kind of like being Amish, but you get to keep your TV. so it was music was a big part of the the service, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could go sometimes longer than, you know, the sermon. And the sermon could last for hours.
Right. You know? And what was the music like? I mean, we're talking like gospel music?
Yeah, like, you know, good Southern gospel.
See, that's an area that I am totally, I have no real depth of knowledge in. And it seems like lots of folks that come out of, you know, kind of the world of bluegrass or folk, certainly all types of country music, are influenced heavily by like Southern gospel. So I'm curious, like, what are the artists that I should know? Like, who would your primary influences in that, besides, like, you know, what's happening in your church? Who are the people that you're listening to?
Well, I mean, if you want to get down, start listening to, you know, some old hymnals, Ralph Stanley's a pretty good one, you know. I remember there were two tapes that my papa had in his truck at all times when I was younger. It was a Ralph Stanley gospel cassette and the Hee Haw gospel album.
There was a Hee Haw gospel album?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, you know, honestly, for the longest time, the versions I knew were, you know, the versions that were played out every Sunday. You know, and then much later.
Is that just vocally when you're in church, or is that like full band?
It would, you know, it would depend on, you know, from church to church and who was at the service that night or morning. But the majority of the time it would be, you know, piano. My mamaw played piano at Spencer's Free Will Baptist for a long time. And my great aunts, I went over to Morgan's Creek, and they were all, had really good sister harmonies, you know. So
So what came first for you? Was it singing or playing guitar?
Singing.
It seems like a lot of folks that I interview that come up, and I know your record's not like a bluegrass record, but it's clearly a big influence, as well as like, you know, old school country and whatever else. But it seems like a lot of folks I know in the bluegrass world came up playing with their families, you know? It was like kind of like passed down in that way. Was that the case for you?
Yeah, you know, there weren't a lot of people that played instruments in my immediate family. Mm. You know, a lot of people sang. My papa always wanted to learn how to play. When I took an interest in it, he supported me 100% on it, you know? And for the longest time, you know, heck, I grew up dead end Meads Branch, and you know, there weren't any other kids, just me and my sister. And so, like, when mom and dad were working, Nan and Papaw would take care of us. And so spent a lot of time just playing guitar, figuring it out in front of Papaw's, you know, easy chair. Just playing, just the two of us, and neither of us really knew anything about chords or anything.
But how'd you learn that stuff?
He had an army buddy that used to come from Kingsport, Tennessee, and they would hang out for, you know, a week, 2 weeks sometimes during the summer, or we'd go down there. Mm. And he showed me my first chords, and got a little older, and I knew a bunch of, like, here and there little things and didn't know how to put them together, and heck, I'm still trying to figure that out sometimes.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
And when did you start playing? Like, were you in a lot of bands growing up?
Yeah, I moved, switched schools when I was 16. So that was a good way to meet people, you know, new environment, new place, and had open lunch. So spent a lot of time at open lunch until I met some folks just playing out in the courtyard playing guitar, you know. And some dudes walked by and were like, hey, man, we got this band playing at, you know, Apple Day. We need somebody to come sing for us. And so I played with them for a little while. And yeah, they were just, you know, one off as far as like one gigs. You know, one gig or two gig bands here and there all the way through, like junior and senior year of high school. And just listened to a lot of, you know, still listen to a lot of the stuff that I listened to, you know, growing up. And on top of that, got mixed in a little bit of Drive-By Truckers and, and you know, that influence.
Like, what are the old, like, your old country influences?
Man, I listened to a lot of Merle Haggard and Buck Owens in high school a lot. Like,
how did you wind up gravitating to that? I mean, how old are you?
26.
26. So you're young. Like, when high school wasn't that long ago. So, you know, like, I'm always kind of fascinated by that when people are listening to something that's, like, from a completely another period. I'm sure that the vast majority of your classmates were not listening to Buck Owens and Merle Haggard records. You know what I mean? Like, what drew you to that?
Well, I mean, a lot of them were.
Oh, really?
A lot of them were listening to Merle Haggard, you know?
Right.
I had a couple buddies that got down Buck Owens, but everybody seemed to be able to agree on Merle Haggard. I listened to, my grandpa had some records in the basement too that I'd flip through, and he's a big Ernest Tubb fan.
Mm.
So that was one early on too.
Okay, at what point in all that did you start writing your own songs?
I've enjoyed writing just as long as singing, really. Just always enjoyed reading and writing my own stories and poems. And the more I started playing and the more I started singing, started learning other people's songs. And you know, that was, I really started getting into playing when I was about 13 or 14, you know. And it was like, well, heck, man, you know, I'll just write my own songs.
Right.
You know, so.
You know, I interviewed Steve Earle yesterday, and he was talking about, like, he does these, like, seminars for songwriting workshops and things like that. And he said that that's one of the key pieces of advice he always gives young songwriters, that you have to read. Like, who do you get inspiration from on the literary side of things? You know, who do you read?
I spent a lot of time with Kerouac early on.
Right.
I just liked beat poets and how it was all just like a rapid fire, you know, in the moment.
With your own songs, how autobiographical are they?
I'd say it's just it's a mixture of, you know, personal experience sprinkled with tall tales and flat out lies and a little bit of everything
right
in there together.
There's a quote of yours that I read that was, the voice that I want to write in is a voice for me and mine where I grew up. And I was curious, like, if you could elaborate on that. What did you mean by that? You're not talking about your voice, right? You're talking about what, like, the lyrical tone?
Like, my
tone.
Writing
right.
voice, yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I kind of imagine the songs that I'm writing are coming out of this one just collective voice, you know, like this person is writing these songs. It's you know, this character that's loosely based on, you know, my personal experiences of my friends, my close relatives, you know, stories I hear just on the road. It's all into this one voice that hopefully the friends I make and the friends I have and the family I have back home, and you know, everybody can relate to it, hopefully, in some way.
And can you talk a little bit about, like, your writing process? You know, what type of writer are you? Are you somebody that writes all the time? Do you write kind of in batches? Do you write for an album? Like, what's your approach?
Just write when I want to. You know? I didn't get into playing music, so I had to do things that I didn't want to do, you know, want to work for myself. And I work hard, but there's no point in writing when you're not into it, because then you're just rushing to get something out. If you have to force it, then it's not very genuine.
Right.
So yeah, whenever I take the notion to, I do, and I take the notion to not, I don't.
What have the years between your first record, which came out what, in like 2011?
Yeah.
And now, like, what have you been doing? Like, why the long break between those two records?
I've been playing a lot, in some form or fashion. You know, sometimes playing, you know, early on it was one or two gigs and a lot of open mics and one or two jobs, and then that got to where I'd have one job and, you know, three or four gigs or five gigs. Mm. Or, you know,
it's, is that like playing locally around where you
live? Yeah.
Right.
Started for a long time. It was bouncing back and forth between two music scenes in Lexington, Kentucky, and Huntington, West Virginia, which is Huntington's where I got my first like good proper bar gig, I would say.
Mm.
But yeah, it was back and forth between Huntington and Lexington, and then, you know, you meet people and meet other bands and start getting other gigs, and so then that circle was from Charleston to Louisville, you know.
Right.
So, and it's just been, well, since 2011, like the main focus has been to just play wherever, whenever, in as small as, you know, as big of a circle as we can, but be happy with the small circle we got, and it'll just get bigger as it, you know, it's kind of like a baseball, and once you start taking it apart, I just fall apart eventually. Get far enough into it.
Is this with this new record? Is this the first time you've ever been like? Are you in the middle of a tour cycle now? Or are you out on the road a ton?
Yeah. This has been a pretty good tour cycle. We started August 1st and going pretty steady to August 27th. Before that, I had a day and a half home and was gone overseas for 4 days. Which was
where'd you go?
We went to Oslo, Norway, London, England, and then Amsterdam.
How was that?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot to take in 4 days, but
is that your first time over there?
Yeah. It's something I've always wanted to do, but I always had kind of the same philosophy as I had to, you know, coming out here. I always wanted to go to these places, but first and foremost, I need to be playing music, because if I'm not playing it, somebody else ain't playing it for me, you know.
Right.
Especially when you don't have a CD for anybody to play or an album. And then that was another big focus too, was trying to get an album out. Like you said, I haven't came out with anything since 2011 really, other than two EPs.
Mm.
But it's not been for lack of trying. This is the third time we've recorded, and well, I've recorded in the last 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
What, like third time, like trying to get a record made, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So how did this one come? Like, how did you wind up connecting with Sturgill Simpson and getting him on board to produce? How'd that come about?
I had a gig in Nashville, and Miles came out to gig and met him and got to yakking about, you know, both being from Kentucky and music and
is Miles his drummer?
Yeah.
Right.
And so Miles Miller made the introduction, and I got Sturgill to come out to a gig and hear my stuff.
Wait, what was that?
Hear my stuff.
Oh, okay. I heard that as he messed up.
He messed up.
Okay, so what was that like recording with him? What's his approach in the studio? How is he as a producer?
I mean, I think he's pretty good as a producer.
Like, does he get in there with you? Like, was he working out your songs with you, or was he like more hands off, or just kind of get the right guys in the room? You know, there's all these different ways, you know, to do it.
Yeah. I mean, he got the right guys in the room for sure, you know.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, he nudged it where it needed to, and kind of sat back when something was just, you know, just fine the way it was.
I mean, it's interesting. I read I think this was something you said, referring to the gritty mountain sound that you wanted. Yeah. Your record to sound like. I mean, what is that gritty mountain sound to you? What do you mean by that?
I mean, it's a mixture of a lot of things. It's just like a drive, you know, like just this, like that, just this bounce that you hear, like a train, you know, in a bluegrass song, just like getting down the road. And but it, on top of that, like the grit, sound in like the just the cadence of the words as they come out, the sayings, the imagery, just, you know, just feels like, yeah, just like a bottle of whiskey.
I mean, how's the response been to it so far? Purgatory.
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of places and had quite a few people waiting for us when we got there, which is, you know, means a lot to go someplace you've never been.
Right.
Have people there waiting to sing along with you, which is something else.
How long has your record been out?
It's been out since the 4th.
And what is Hickman Holler Records? Is that like your own imprint through 30 Tigers?
Mm-hmm.
What's that been like to work with them? It seems like all the best stuff is coming out on 30 Tigers. You know what I mean? That seems like one of the real kind of hubs, the epicenter of whatever you want to call it, roots, Americana, alt country kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, seems like, I looked at a lot of things from a lot of places, like a lot of deals, you know, and...
Did you have different labels wanting to put your record out?
Yeah.
And that's a good place to be after, like you said, trying to make this record a few times.
Yeah.
And that gap between records coming out.
It's a blessed assurance that you're doing something right. You know, when somebody takes an interest in it. But it seemed like everybody was interested, but they were also interested in, taking me for all I was worth.
And, which, that's the modern day record deal, right? Yeah. We're going to take a piece of this and we're going to take a piece of that. Yeah. You're like, I don't even have any of that shit yet.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you navigate that? Like, what's it, you know?
Say no.
Right.
You know, if you don't want to do something, you know, I mean, you're the one, you know, busting your ass.
I mean, can you talk a little bit about that? What that's like as a young, you know, artist starting out and going on the road? Like, how do you bring a band? How do you afford to do any of it?
You just work in your circle, you know? There was a lot of places that we wanted to go as a band, but we didn't have, we had families and, James got a kid now, and there's things you got to worry about. So we just kept it small, let it grow.
Like, do you alternate? Do you go out just you and a guitar, and then sometimes if you can pull it together, do it like full band?
Yeah.
Sort of jump between them.
A lot of times I'll go out and I'll test new waters, just solo.
Mm.
And then, I'll go back out with the band later if there's a call for it.
Right.
Sometimes, some areas, just you and an acoustic is all you need,
Yeah, yeah.
There ain't no call for, the whole honky-tonk band.
Those shows can be really kind of in the moment and fun, though, too. You know, they're different.
Oh, yeah. I did a couple recently.
It was, like, honestly the first time I think I ever actually enjoyed it. So I've always been scared out of my mind playing that way. Because I didn't come up that way. I didn't come up playing an acoustic guitar by myself on stage. I came up in a fucking loud volume, big amp noise kind of, scene. So for me, going and playing those kind of, just like that scared the fuck out of me for the longest time. I swear to God, like 2 months ago, I played a couple shows like that. It was the first time I was ever like, oh, I get it. I totally get why that's a rush, So what's next for you? Like, what do you got? What's out in front of you?
Well, we're playing here tonight. And then we got San Francisco. And we're just moving our way up the coast.
How long do you think you're going to be out on the road for this record?
I'll be on the road with it until the next one. Hopefully it won't take as long as it did to come out with this one.
Something tells me it won't.
Well,
I don't know if you feel like playing a song, but that would be great. Sometimes people do, sometimes people don't, but we always encourage it.
Well, we can always try.
good place for sifting. He invited me digging, so picked up my screen and a shovel to dig a jar of shine. Traded me fair for a bottle of wine, Brothers Barnes Mountain wine. We trudged through the snow, straight up the hillside, took a ridge for a while, then we slowly went down to an overhang, hid from the ridge line. We bent over our handles and we bit in the ground, dark and blood. Ground, but the wine kept us going. Moonshine was flowing, keeping us warm, cause you can't hold a girl with a fistful of shovel. Gotta find your fire in the company of corn. Dug for a while, then it all turned to ashes. Found a bunch of broke flint and a few bits of bone. Then I heard Jesse yell o'er the pile he was sifting. Shook the hills like the angels were calling us home. Jesse, Zachary, come home. It was banded as hell, it was fluted in Clovis. It was hot as the pistol I kept on my side. And I was feeling so fierce, I was broke ass and busted. I pulled out my pistol and took Jesse's life. Clovis like that is a hard point to find. Makes a pale swift to come by with a good chunk of change. Left over for burn on whatever meanness, whatever woman is coming my way. Darling, come my way. I sit in the cell for the band in Clovis. I stole off a Nolan when I killed him that day. I reckon the chase of the pills and the powder, corn liquor and women are the culprits to blame.
Yeah, very nice. All right, that was Tyler Childers doing a stripped-down version of his song Banded Clovis off his record Purgatory. Make sure you get out and buy that record or stream it or listen to it, however you do. I don't think Tyler has a website because I looked and I didn't find one, but I'm sure he's out on the road somewhere. I think he's going to be hustling for a long time, and I just suspect we'll be hearing a lot from that young man in the not-too-distant future. Check him out on Twitter, at TT Childers, or on Facebook, at Tyler Childers Music. There you go. That's it for this week. Go ahead and listen to all the old episodes of Walking the Floor available to you in the iTunes store. If you like it, leave us a nice review or a 5-star rating or whatever. Every little bit helps, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next week, maybe with the Chris Stapleton interview, if I can get it together to edit it that quick. All right. Adios, amigos!
Well, my heart is sweating bullets from the circles it has raced, like a little feathered engine calling out the clouds for rain. I go running